woman, man, boy, and girl. I pray we are blessed with God's grace, mercy, and peace.
May I
my Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. It is Saturday, and it's time for us to go to school. So let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Without it, we would be undone. We thank you for the peace that we have in knowing that we are your children, and we have been brought into your kingdom, your family, and we're here, Lord, to learn more about the one who did it right, the one who did it the way you intended. And through that, knowing by his power, by your spirit, we are able to do the same. So right now, Father, teach us through your spirit, and we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good
Amen.
Morning, my people.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I assume we're all ready. We got our We Believe. Excuse me. Why Jesus had to die, your sheet should say the death of the Lamb. So if you have it, get it out, get ready, you're already ready. If you don't have it, go retrieve it from your electronic device of choice. And let's continue in going through these reasons, more reasons of why Jesus had to die than just our usual standard, he died on the cross for our sins. That is so true. That is essential. But there was more going on at the cross than we can even imagine. Someone help us by reading our key verse, which is found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6.
Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Amen.
Thank you, Mother. All right. Amen. So we are answering the first question of why a lamb? Why a lamb? So let's just go to the beginning. Let's go to our first verse, which is found in Genesis chapter 3. And somebody read verse 21.
And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife.
All right. So right here we have off the bat, we know the story of the fall. We know that Adam and Eve hid from God because they were naked, and which they had been all along. And they tried to cover themselves with leaves, more than likely. People say definitely probably fig leaves, because later on Jesus references the fig tree. That's a whole other teaching. Anyway, so they tried to cover themselves. They tried to cover their own nakedness and shame. But who covered them?
God did.
And what did he cover them with?
Animal skins.
All right. So your first, why a lamb? We don't know whether or not it was a lamb. But we do know it was animal skin. So animal skin is our first clue into why a lamb. Right. Let's continue. Now, on your sheet, you only have a short reference, but after deeper thinking, I decided we're going to read more of this story. So let's go to Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to need somebody to read verses 1 through 14 of Genesis chapter 22 so we can get the complete picture of what was going on here.
Okay. Go ahead.
You can go ahead.
You can't hear me. Okay. Sometime later, God tested Adam's faith. Adam, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Adam placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Adam and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham answered. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they walked on together. Then when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. When he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh, Yara, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Amen.
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 All right. So we are answering the question, why a lamb? In this story, what was sacrificed?
A lamb.
A lamb. We'll get into what the lamb did when we get to this next question. So we got a lamb here. All right. There's some interesting things about Mount where Abraham, it is believed in tradition that Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah. And anybody know what's significant about Mount Moriah?
No.
It's okay. That's good. I'm glad you said that. So I'm going to tell you. Mount Moriah is the place where David brought the field of Araunah. He bought a field, and remember the guy wanted to give it to David because he was king, and David said the famous verse we like to quote, "How can I render unto the Lord that which cost me nothing?" So Mount Moriah is the place where this field was, where David purchased the land that the temple would be built on.
Okay. So the
place where Abraham took his son to be sacrificed is the same place where God's presence dwelt, where lambs were sacrificed. Got it?
I'm writing it down.
All right. There's some more little nuggets in here, and I'll fill you in a little later on what other is significant about that. All right. So we got a ram, which is a male sheep or goat. Let's keep going. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And somebody read verses 1 through 14, and we're going to find another reference to another type, or to another lamb.
Yes, while the Israelites were still in Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announced to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or goat, with no defects. Take special care of the chosen animal until the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad, greens, and bread made with. Do not eat any of the meat boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next day. Burn whatever is not eating before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But, did you say the 14?
The 14, yes.
Okay. But the blood on the doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is the day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is the law for all time. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, what kind of lamb was this called? What was this lamb called?
The Passover lamb.
This is the Passover lamb. All right, and because we know that this is the night where the last plague is poured out on Egypt. Side question. Why did God determine to kill the firstborn of Egypt?
Don't know.
Think about in the book of Exodus, right? What happened at the beginning of the book of Exodus? Something about the story of Moses.
Moses.
They went around and tried to kill every firstborn boy that was in the They went around and tried to knock out every firstborn boy trying to get to
Okay, let's just go to it. Exodus chapter 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And somebody read verses 15 and 16. I'm going to keep you going. 15 through 22. 15 through 22.
Okay. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave his order to the Hebrew midwives, Sephra and Phua. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives fear God, they refuse to obey the king's orders. They allow the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and they have their babies so quickly we can't get there in time. So God was good to the midwives. The Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Amen.
Okay. So now you understand why God took out the firstborn of Egypt? To redeem the firstborn of Israel, the kids, the children, and actually the males of Israel.
Okay.
If you take out the males, you can wipe out the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
We see that all the time. That shows where that there's a spirit behind that. If you take out the males, you destroy the people.
Uh-huh.
So if you take out, so God in Egypt, that plague took out whose son?
Pharaoh's.
Pharaoh's. which cut off his line.
Yeah.
So our God, that's why the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Because he knows what's behind what's going on. It wasn't just about destroying a few babies. This was trying to wipe out a people. And so God utterly destroyed Egypt. Okay, back to the story. Why? This is the Passover lamb, though. Those who had the blood on their doorposts, what happened to them?
The death passed by.
All right. Let's keep going. We got some more, couple more scriptures to get to. Isaiah 53, and somebody read verses 3 through 8. Like I said, we're talking about the what first, and then the why, and then we're going to answer the what, which is the reverse of what we usually do.
He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow his own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was laid away. No one cared that he died without the sentence, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. Amen.
Okay. Here we have another reference. Verse 6 pronounces it, where it says, all we like what?
Sheep.
Have gone astray, but the Lord laid on who?
Him.
What did he lay on him?
The sins of us all.
Okay. Some of us remember this in our studies, that at the time on the Day of Atonement, there were two. There was a scapegoat, and then there's the sacrificial lamb. The priest would pronounce all the sins onto the scapegoat, and then someone would take the goat out of the city, away, never to return again. And then the other lamb would be sacrificed. So here, Isaiah is talking about a sheep or a lamb who was not only sacrificed, but also was the scapegoat.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So here we have a scapegoat and the sacrificial lamb. All right. Let's keep going. It's going to get gooder, trust me. John chapter 1. Somebody read verse 29 of John chapter 1.
Read what was it you said? Read what?
John chapter 1, verse 29.
Oh, okay. The next day, John said, go ahead.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Oh, so here we have John the Baptist. And he looks up and he says, what?
The Lamb
Look,
of God.
Look,
who
the Lamb of
away.
God that does what?
Takes away
the sins of the world.
And who was he talking about?
Jesus.
Right.
So here we have the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's go to our text. It needs to be put together by the same writer. Revelation chapter 5, where our key verse comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody read Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14.
Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it? But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they had gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered. And your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. And they will reign on the earth. Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang a mighty chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, blessings and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb ever and ever. And the four living beings said, amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, here we have another lamb. What is this lamb? What does it say about this lamb?
That he had power? He was selected?
He was slaughtered?
He was slaughtered.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Verse 6. Yeah, it says all that too, Deacon. Don't worry. It says all that too. But primarily, we want to look at this lamb. He was slain in some translations.
Okay.
There's so much that is here, and if I was teaching Revelation right now, we would be really getting a good picture. But this much I will share. In this vision John is having, where he's being shown this, you see that as it starts out, no one could open the scroll. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one in all creation could open the scroll. And then the people said, look, in verse 5, then one of the elders said to me, don't weep. See the what?
Lion of Judah.
Lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, so you see that right there is the root of David. He's able to open the scroll. But then in verse 6, John says, then I saw a what?
Lamb.
A lamb.
A lamb. Now, they're declaring, here, the lion's going to do it. So if John in this vision, you're waiting, okay, you're waiting for Aslan, if you have ever seen Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe or read the book. You're waiting for Aslan, mighty lamb, a mighty lion, to come in and do this. But when he turned around, he saw a what?
A lamb.
And it's a lamb that had been, as she said, slaughtered, slain. That means that it's obvious this lamb had been killed. So he sees a slain lamb. All right. So now we got the picture of the lamb. You see lamb, animal, animal going from beginning, from Genesis, all the way to the end. We see this picture of a lamb or some type of animal. And always this animal is something about it. Let me answer the question. What did the lamb do? So now we're in our letter A. These letters coincide with our verses. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to see what this lamb or the animal, what did the animals do in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21?
They were sacrificed.
He was sacrificed for Isaac.
We're in Genesis 3.
They covered Adam nakedness and shame clothes were made.
Okay. So the animal that was slain, because the animal obviously had to be killed. God didn't just take a live animal and put on him. He said he used skin. So God sacrificed an animal to cover their shame or their nakedness. Got it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Now we can go to Genesis 22. And in verses 13 and 14, what did this animal do?
Okay. Provided a perfect sacrifice. What did
okay,
he do?
Okay, but not only the sacrifice, but what did this animal do?
You say that was what?
Genesis 22, verse 13 and 14.
Genesis 22, 13.
He died in the place of Isaac.
So this ram was sacrificed in the place of the son, because remember, Isaac was to be sacrificed.
Oh, okay. I see it now. Burned up again in place of his son. Okay.
So he went in place of the son, because we're answering the question, what did the lamb do? What did the animal do? So the animal was a sacrifice in place of the son. I hope you're getting the picture here.
Yeah.
We are. I wanted to know, are we on B now, or is that an A still?
That was B.
Okay.
Okay. As I just think, we're A, B, and C is instead of me writing 1, 2, and 3 all over again.
Yeah, I understand.
One, you got the correlation? Okay. All right, so now we're on letter C. Let's go to Exodus 12 again, to where we looked at the Passover feast and the Passover lamb. And let me see, verses 6 and 7, to help us understand what this lamb did.
Is that the one where he provided notoriety for them, that when they smear their blood, that house will be passed over?
Okay.
No.
So this lamb shed its blood so that the death angel would pass over this house, so that death would pass over get the picture?
Yes. Yes.
Death passing
yes.
over because of the what?
The blood.
Okay. Of the lamb.
Lamb.
Because of the blood of the lamb, death passes over. Another picture.
Okay.
All right. This is God is showing this. This in is there's so many gorgeous nuggets in Scripture that if we put the pieces together, make a beautiful picture without going outside of what God was doing. Okay. Isaiah 53 for letter D. And somebody look at verse 6. We kind of talked about this a little bit because I get excited and tip my hat. Isaiah 53, verse 6.
All of us can finish straight away. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of us can finish straight away.
He took the punishment for our iniquities.
Hmm.
Oh.
So this lamb suffers on behalf of, instead of the people, in place of the people. Where have we seen that before?
Where have we seen?
Where have we seen the slaughtering, the slaughtered lamb suffer in place of people?
At the
temple.
In the garden.
In the garden, that animal suffered in place of to cover their nakedness. Then we saw it where? On Mount what? On that what place with
on
Abraham?
Mount Moriah.
On Mount Moriah.
Oh, okay.
We saw it there again. And then we saw it again, the blood. An animal had to be slain in order to get the blood to keep them from death.
Oh, the Passover, right. Okay.
This is a continual thing. All right, so now Isaiah just comes out and says it. All right, let's go to John chapter 1 again. And what does he say in verse 29 about this lamb?
Behold.
Yep, and as we shared about that scapegoat, this lamb, and he's pointing at who?
Jesus.
Jesus. He's the perfect sacrifice.
He said, this is the lamb who takes away the sin of the world, right here. This is the lamb who the Lord laid the iniquity of us all on.
Mm-hmm.
So John is really referencing. All right, now let's go to the happy book, Revelation. And it is a happy book. It really is. It's just we've had a lot of confusion in how we've taught it, but it's a very happy book. All right, and verses 9 and 10 is where we get what did the lamb do. So
open up the scroll.
Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10.
Where you open up the scroll and broke the seals, you're
okay,
the only
you
one qualified.
You own something there, but I'm going to hold that thought till we finish out what this lamb did according to these two verses.
With your
oh, the slaughter the ransom for the people. Okay.
I hear my sister saying it in the background there. What did you say?
But with your blood you purchased.
Amen.
And purchased who?
People.
People of God.
People from where?
Every tribe and language.
Every tribe and nation.
And nation.
From everywhere.
Amen.
And what are these people supposed to do, according to verse 10?
To be kingdom and priests and to serve God, and they will reign on the earth.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Original sin.
to live out the original intention of God.
Okay.
because I don't know if you know this, but the Garden of Eden was actually a precursor to the temple and the tabernacle. If you study the temple and the tabernacle and the designs and the pictures in the temple and the tabernacle, you'll see there's a lot of plants and animal things that they're just it's a picture of creation kind of played out on the curtains and in the colors. So Eden was actually like God's first earthly temple.
Say that again.
God's first earthly temple.
Okay.
Was Eden the place? Because that was a place where God dwelt in the garden, and He placed them in the garden. That place where they lived at, and they were to serve God by representing Him in all creation, so the creation could be what class?
Flourish.
Flourish.
Flourish. So that it could flourish. So anyway, we're back to the picture. So the lamb purchased, another word we use is redemption.
Mm-hmm.
He bought people for God with his blood. He bought a people for God with his blood. So if you would, you could say this is the redemption of humanity. This is the and now we're getting to the last question, another reason that Jesus had to die. Wow, we went through this class real quick. I'm going to have to stretch it out a little bit more. So here in this passage in Revelation 5, we have God redeeming, and the song that is being sung is that he redeemed, he brought us through his blood. And now I know Deacon was talking about being able to open the scrolls. I was reading in a book that I'm working through slowly about how to read Revelation responsibly is the name of the title, Reading Revelation Responsibly. And in it, there's been a lot of talk about what this scroll was, because who was holding the scroll in the beginning of Revelation 5?
A mighty angel?
One who was
sitting on the throne. Who do we know that
to be?
One
who was sitting at the right hand.
Jesus? That would be Jesus.
No, yeah. Look at it again.
Oh, not Jesus. Then I saw a scroll on the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. God. Oh, God.
God is sitting on the throne. And in his right hand, he's holding a what?
The scroll.
He's holding the scroll in his right hand. Now, we know the right hand represents power, authority. And nobody, and as you read through that text, no angel, no spiritual being, no human, no animal, nothing in all, no one in all creation or nothing is able to open that scroll. But who comes up and takes the scroll, according to verse 5?
The slaughtered lamb.
Verse 5.
Oh, the lion from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go. Since y'all went through these questions so fast, now I gotta go back. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 48. I'm thinking. Is it 48? Nope, 49. And somebody read verses 8 through 10.
What book is that?
Well, Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 49, verses 8-10.
Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his.
Okay. So now, remembering what we read in Revelation chapter 5 in those first couple verses, in verse 6, it says that it will, in the first verse, God is sitting on the throne. He's holding the scroll. Nobody is able to open that scroll. Remember that that right hand is the power and authority. So only someone who has equal power and authority can take that scroll and open that scroll. And John weeps because that's right. There's nobody who can do it. And then the elder says, "No, here comes the who?
The lion
from the tribe of
Judah.
And he just read that. What is the language? Look at verse. What does he say about Judah in verse 9? He said Judah is a what?
The lion's cub.
So that means, so lion of the tribe of Judah, and it says that Judah's the cub. So that means there's one greater than Judah who is coming, right? Because the cub is a little lion, that Simba in the beginning of The Lion King, you know. Which if you really look at The Lion King, it is very biblical. In some ways, anyway, there's a lot of imagery in The Lion King that comes from Scripture. But so the cub, okay, I'm going to go here. A cub, he's telling, if you, of Lion King, follow me. In The Lion King, remember Simba's, they're looking out with Mufasa, and they're like, all of this is going to, is this all ours, and we can rule over it? And Mufasa kind of tells him, hey, calm down. We're not going to dog this out and just do whatever we want. We have to help it flourish. Because Mufasa is a greater lion. He's the king. He's the lion of the tribe. And Simba's just a cub. I hope you got my little imagery there. Okay, so let's keep going in the text. So when he says that he's a lion, Judah, so immediately in Revelation, if you're reading it, you should be going back to lion, Judah. I've heard this before. I've seen this before somewhere. And so then he says in verse 10, what does he say will not depart from Judah?
The scepter.
The scepter.
What does a scepter represent?
Kingship.
Yeah, you're in charge of it. You're the king.
You're in charge.
Right.
Okay? Power, authority. Where was the scroll in? What hand was the scroll in?
The right hand.
The hand of power and authority, right? The right hand. And who was able to take the scroll?
The lamb.
The lion. Because of this reference, this lion comes from Judah. That's why it says the lion of the tribe of Judah. So it says the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until what?
I don't know that.
It's right here in verse 10.
Until it comes to whom it belongs.
Okay, stop right there. Until he comes to whom it belongs. Who was able to take the scroll?
Jesus Christ.
The lion of the tribe of Judah was able to take the scroll because it belongs to who?
Him.
To him.
Amen.
To him. And what belongs to him because of that, according to the second part of that verse? The obedience
of the nation.
Of the nations. Let's go back to Revelation 5 real quick. All right. Y'all got a side lesson that's not even on the paper. Okay. So, when we see the song that is sung, verse 9.
Oh, you are worthy to take the scroll. Okay.
And why?
For you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God and for every tribe.
So
go ahead.
Stop right there. So, because he was slain. Remember? So now we're getting to the other part, which gets back to our lesson. That lion, we got the reference, lion, he's the one, he's able, it belongs to him to take the scroll. But when John saw him, when he turned around in the vision and saw this lion, what did he see?
A lamb of God.
A lamb who was what?
Oh, slain.
Slaughtered.
A lamb who had been slain, who had been slaughtered.
Oh, okay. Shut up.
So you see the dual picture? Go ahead, go ahead.
The lion was hidden inside the lamb.
The lion and the lamb are one.
Are one.
Okay.
He's the lamb here on earth. Once he takes charge of everything, that's when he becomes the lion?
No.
Okay,
he
that's
always,
what I meant.
He always is the lion. He always is the lamb.
Let's say he's blue for our nations, by his stripes we were healed. Hmm.
He always is the lamb.
What did Deacon Tay say?
No, I'll just think about Isaiah 53.
Okay.
Which is good, because this is what it's just stimulating us when we read scripture, and this is why we don't just know what. You know, when we read scripture, well, I know what Isaiah 53:6 says. Well, what does it mean? Why is that important? Because this lion, this lamb that is slain is also the one who has the authority and the power over all the nations. He is equal in power and authority, and he is able. And, okay, I'm going to throw y'all with a big loop here. There's another reference here. So we have got the one who's sitting on the throne, who we identify as God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in our language to help us, God the Father sits on the throne. And then we have the Lamb, who is the Lion also, who is who?
Jesus.
All right. Now somebody read verse 6 and go real slow in verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth.
Okay.
All right. Seven horns. Seven eyes. We know number seven means what?
Completion.
Completion. But there's something else about the seven horns and the seven eyes. It's representative of somebody else. I'm going to try to quickly find this.
Wait a minute. What?
Reference.
What are you talking about, lamps? No, it couldn't be lampstands.
Is that the 144,000?
Nope. Now in Revelation chapter 1, we got a reference, but there's an Old Testament reference. Let me try to find it real quick.
Old Testament. Isaiah
Isaiah chapter 11. Bring this home.
Isaiah.
And somebody read verse 2.
The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
All right. So now, here you have a reference to the who?
Spirit of the Lord.
Spirit of the Lord. Sevenfold Spirit of the Lord. So when we look at Revelation, we have God the Father sitting on the throne with the scroll. We have the lion, who is also the lamb, who is able to open the scroll. And the lamb, according to Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, had his seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. Who did the Son give us? What was his gift to us?
Who did the Son?
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Mm. So who is also present here?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we have Trinity here. We have a Trinity reference here.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he says he's sent into all the earth. Who is he sent to? Those he redeemed by his blood to be his priest and to reign in his kingdom.
So we started in Genesis with that us, and we get in Revelation, and they're still there.
Okay, yeah. So let's get into this other reason why Jesus had to die real quick. Reason 3 that we have that Jesus had to die to fulfill God's plan to judge and save the world. God's plan to judge and to save the world. It was not through people. It was not through magic. It was not through anything earthly. His plan was always through a lamb. And he would provide the lamb.
Amen.
If you're reeling, I'll make sure when I teach this again that I'll get into more detail, and in person we're going to have to really see it. But I pray that, again, in our conversations that we not just know what, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, buried. No, it's so much richer than that. It was part of God's plan. To save us,
so,
to redeem us, to bring us back to what he intended in the beginning. I got to go. It's 9:59. Let us pray. Father, I pray your spirit will just continue to breathe through us, that we will get understanding and that we will know and then rejoice in the fact that you, just like you did for Abraham on the mountain, the Lord will provide, that we know you have already provided. And because you have provided, we are now a kingdom of priests who are ordained to reign with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good class. Amen. Amen. Very good class. Just another good break it down lesson. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Pastor Janice Tate, for that lesson. Like I said, another good break it down lesson where we could, you know, break it down, we could understand it. And, you know, we appreciate you and have a beautiful day. And just thank everybody for participating. Okay? Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay, so if you are participating in the next part of the service, just keep your one depressed, but everybody pressed, but everybody else depress your one, because we got a lot of callers. Okay, so get your coffee, tea, your cookies, and your crumpets, and after this next selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell of you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. You are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to get to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the tower, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. You calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. everything. That's why I give your name the praise.
Yes, you are everything. God, all the praise and the glory. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries, a Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person. For this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. And our scripture, our proclamation, why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Do not worry. Matthew 6:25-34 is our scripture reading. Here reads the word. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we ask you today for this opportunity to offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Lord, we are so grateful and so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Hey, Pastor O, take it away.
work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, live in me. Your song flows through my lips. Your work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, live in me. And you can have all of me. Have all of me. Have all of me. 'Cause I'm yours. And I give you all of me. Give you all of me. God, here's all of me. I'm yours. God, I'm yours.
Sing all
open hearts, open minds tonight. Sing, I'm yours. Can we say, dear, you can have all of me. God, our minds are yours. God, our hearts are yours. Everything we think is yours. Sing, I give you all. Give you all. Sing, I'm yours.
To
somebody, cry out a sound of surrenderance tonight. Come on, I won't feed it to you. Our prayer tonight is that's our heart's cry. It sounds great, put some music, but it doesn't matter if it's not in your heart. It means nothing if you just say it with your mouth. So tonight my prayer is that you match your confession with your heart's posture. God, tonight as we cry out, God, you can have all of me. God, we expose every hidden thing, every secret thing, every dirty thing we don't want anyone to see. God, tonight we give it to you. Yes, you can have all of us. Have all of us. Have all of us. Sing, I'm yours.
By a love I can't explain, and now you have me, and I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender my life, it's not my own. I belong. I give myself. Come on, can we say that all over this room? Say, my life. My life is not my own. I give myself. Come on, with your hands lifted high all over this room. Come on, tell them again. Say, my life.
Thank you, Pastor Roe, for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts truly have been moved and encouraged, which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Deacon Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petition God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. In the goodness of God.
can pay. My very own Deacon Tate article.
Okay, he might be having some issues with his telephone.
Okay, wow.
Okay, well, it looks like it's on me.
Oh, boy. I hear something.
I hear some rumbling.
Is that better?
There we go.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's
okay.
Difficult. All right, let's get this right. Good morning. Right now, if you're hearing my voice, you're in the presence of the true and living God. And that song that just played, I'm going to just take a minute and tell you, I love that song because it talks about the goodness of God. And then that song, she says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. So what I need you to understand right now is the God that you're talking to right now is the only true and living God. He's the only real God. I know you got something going on, but the one that you're here right now, and if you're here right now, you're bringing something to him and you believe that he exists. And he says that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So right now, whatever it is you're carrying, I need you to leave it with him. In our Sunday school class this morning, we talked about the scapegoat. And what we have to understand is this, that one man came, the word tells us that in the Bible, because of one man's sin into the world, but because another man's sacrifice, we get to rule forever with God. And that man was Jesus, who's now seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And he hears what you have to say. So whatever it is, you take to him and you leave it with him. Don't go back and pick it up again. And trust and believe, because like I just said a few minutes ago, just a second ago, always understand that you're here because you believe that he can help whatever situation that you're going through, not just help, but that he can do something about it. Lord God, our Father, I thank you first and most of all for even thinking about us a long time ago. You see, Father, we messed up. Like I just said, one man messed up a long time ago, but you didn't kick us to the curb. And what we have to come to understand, too, is that you're real. If we look outside and look around us, Father, we can see in everything that you created, the trees, the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, we can see even within ourselves because, Father, we didn't do anything to make ourselves. If man could make another man now, he would already duplicate it, but he can't. See, it's all about you. And it really is, Father, and we thank you for that because without you, we have absolutely nothing. But right now, we got some stuff that went on, Father, that maybe held us back, that maybe said, oh, man, I got another problem. But see, you tell us all the time when we had a problem, you tell us to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. But you also tell us not to worry. In your words, you tell us, don't worry. The birds outside don't worry. And you care way more about us than that. You told us, too, that we're going to have the stuff that's going to happen, Father. That's the only way I can think of to put it. You called it trials and tribulations. But you tell us to be of good cheer. And that means for us to just continue to believe and cast and throw and give everything to you because you got it already. Father, it amazes me how we lay down at night to go to sleep. And some of us didn't go to sleep last night, Father, thinking about the things that are going on in our lives right now that kept us up all night. But you lay us down at night sometimes, Father, and we have no idea as to what goes on around us.
But you never sleep, and you never slumber, and that's how much you care of us. You call us your children. And Father, for the one right now that's saying that they're not worthy of it, help them to understand that none of us was worthy of what you've done for us. But you provided a way that we could just be adopted into the family that you brought us into, Father. And you gave us everything that we need, and you continue to give us everything that we need. Father, for the one that has a need right now that has to be met, I know you're going to meet that need. But that's just because, Father, there have been some of us that have walked with you for years. Father, I just got to say it. I celebrated 70 years on this earth, and there were times when I didn't know who I was for the first beginning of my life. But then there came a time when I came to know who you were, and not just came to know who you were, but to develop a relationship with you, Father. And from then on, Father, there is nothing at all that could stop me from believing who you are. You see, Father, we all go through things, no matter who it is. There's not a person walking this earth that can say they was perfect, Father. So for that one right now that's struggling with something, Father, help them to understand that you're always there with them. Just like Elijah, your servant, when he went down and he beat the mighty prophets of Baal and the water got licked up and everything else. And then right after that, Jezebel came and told him, I'm going to have your head today. And he took off and ran. You didn't kick him to the curb, Father. You ministered to him. You gave him something to eat. And then you told him, I need you to get up and go back to work. And Father, what we have to understand, Father, that in this life, because of what Adam did, it's not going to be a great life. But it's going to be a wonderful life as long as we stay focused on you. You told us that you prepared a place for us and we're going to be with you forever. And that first place really does exist. And for the ones that doesn't think they don't exist, the same God that said, I prepare a place for you where you come to be with me forever is the same one that made the trees and everything else that we see with our own eyes. Father, what we have to come to do, though, is just like I talked about a relationship a minute ago, Father, is just get into that relationship with you. You see, Father, you've also given us one. Even though Jesus is sitting over the right-hand side right now and you're in heaven, you provided your spirit that goes everywhere with us. And like I said before, Father, you never go to sleep. So you watch over us constantly. You not only gave us provided us the ability to be with you all the time, Father, you made sure that we are taken care of because you've assigned an angel that watches over each and every one of us. But, Father, those same angels marveled at how you just love us so much. And the great part about it, Father, that's all it's really all about, the love that you have for us. You tell us to bring it all to you. Bring it all to you. And see, you can handle it all. There is no other God but you. All the other gods are gods. I love it when I think about Isaiah chapter 44 when it talks about the man that goes out and builds a house with the wood and everything else, then comes back in and carves a little idol and he bows down to it when it's just a piece of wood, Father, and you made the wood. But we're one of your most important possessions. We are your greatest creation. And you tell us that. You call us a masterpiece. And you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten son that we might be able to spend eternity with you. And you didn't just give it to him, Father, back in the beginning when it said, because you all three always existed, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you said, let us, you've all still existed, and you still exist, and you're here right now. So, Father, for that one that thinks there is no way out, show them the way, Father. because it's all been taken care of from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus and you. But for the one that doesn't even have a Bible, Father, show yourself to them today so they would know who you are. Because you say if we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. And you tell us if we come to you and seek your face, that you'll show yourself to us. But you also tell us to be busy about the work that you have for us to do. Because the verse says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But Father, you see how it says the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've all been made right by what your son, what our Savior did for us in your eyes. So when anybody tries to come in and when the devil comes in and try to say we did this or we did that or we did this or we did that, you've declared us not guilty. You said, I'm good with them. And you brought us in and we have fellowship with you. You call us your children. You say you're our Father because we were taught our Father who art in heaven. And for the one Father, like I said, that hasn't, is not sure. But Father, if they're talking to you right now, even if they're not sure, they have a clue now. So, Father, you go ahead and do what you say you're going to do because, see, the one thing you don't do is lie. And everything that you say you're going to do, you'll do. Two that know you, Father, to get deeper into what you said. And what you say is written down into that book that we call our Bible. Help us to come to understand from Genesis to Revelation, Father. And it's a lot in there. But if we come to you and you ask and we ask you to show it to us, Father, you will. You see, you love us. And there is no earthly father that I know, and it might be some father, so we're praying for them that don't treat their children right. We're praying for that child right now, Father, that might feel like they're all by themselves. Help them to understand, Father, that there's nothing that's impossible for you. But right now we just ask that thing that might have kept us up like last night, the child that might not have had enough to eat, Father, we all personally request because you tell us to pray for each other. You tell all of us that are believers to pray for each other and not just pray for each other, but to also pray for those that are in need, Father. And if we can possibly meet the need of that individual to go and do what we need to do to make sure that need is met. Because like I said, you said to seek you first, to do what it is that you have for us to do, to be busy about your work, and you'll take care of everything else. And I can testify to the fact, Father, that you will. So we praise you and we adore you. We lift your name up high, Father, because there is no other name higher than the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And there's definitely no other name given unto men under heaven by which we might be saved. For that one father right now that's saying there's nothing that can be done for them, go ahead and take care of it because I know you will. And the great part about it, Father, is that, like I said, you tell us not to worry. You tell us to pray about everything, but you also tell us to rejoice. To rejoice because you see, Father, we have a reason to rejoice. No matter what goes on in this life, this ain't it. You got a better place for us. You said that you was going to prepare a place for us to be. But while we're in this life, Father, we can start living that life that you have for us right now, here. Just knowing that you don't lie and that everything you say you're going to do, you're going to do. But see, we got to be busy about your business, too. We got to be busy about what you tell us to do. So let it be, Father, that we just continue to seek your face. Nothing else, nothing more. To stay in your, like a little child does with their parent, they stay in their face all day if they can. Because see, you love that. We know you love us. And love covers a multitude of sin. Love takes care of everything. But it's only the love of God, the one that we're talking to right now, the Father himself, the one that I'm speaking with right now, that love that just in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that talks about that takes care of everything. But you also told us to take care of our brothers and sisters that we can too, Father, to feed the hungry, be concerned about the needy. You gave us a responsibility to do. See, the one thing about it is that you're not a selfish God. You got all by yourself, but you're not a selfish God. So we're called not to be selfish. Yep, we're here at the altar, and we're saying we got problems. But, Father, right now, go ahead and take care of them problems, because I know you will. I know how you do. And there is no other God but you. And so with that, we thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing us just to be able to talk to you, to be able to come to you. And like I said, you tell us to pray about everything. You told us not to worry about anything. But you also tell us to wait because, see, we know that your ways aren't our ways and your thoughts aren't our thoughts. So sometimes the answer comes immediately. Sometimes the answer takes a little time. But the great part about the Father is your answer. And the wonderful part about it is that you hear. You don't just say things and not hear. And when you hear something, you do something about it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we thank you for the sacrifice that was made just for us. Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, came down from where he is right now just to walk in our shoes, just to see what we go through. Because how can you not know, how can you know what a person goes through unless you come down and see and walk in that person's shoes? But right now, he sees it on you. He went back, and he sees it next to you, but he's still here. Because your spirit lives inside each and every one of our believers, us as believers. And you care about us. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Power, power, power in prayer. Thank you, Deacon Tate, for praying and making our request known to the Lord. We appreciate you and have a wonderful day. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today, share the joy and the blessing. Amen? Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is man of God, Pastor Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive with a warm heart Elder Joseph Stevens, Elder Joseph Stevens, as he come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
I am a man blessed beyond my dreams, but it don't mean nothing. Life's not good as it seems. Love and riches, what do they really mean? They may come and go, but you will never leave. So save your treasure, we find our pleasure. All our joy is in you, just want more of you. Oh, save we find our pleasure in you. Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
And I'm thankful because
you are our reward.
You are reward. Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Father, we're desperate for your presence. Like we need air, like we need water. More than anything, we need your presence. Find our pleasure. All our joy is in you. In your presence, that fullness of joy. Now your right hand, that pleasure forevermore. So say, we find our pleasure. It's in you. It's in you.
Your presence is a gift.
Is a blessing. Your presence is precious in our lives. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. Father God, we continue to just thank you for life, health, and strength. Father God, we bless your holy name. We continue to lift your word. Father God, we continue to read and trust your word. And then, Father God, we don't only trust it, but we lean and depend on your word for guidance. And then, Father God, you didn't leave us here with just the word, but, Father God, you left us with the word and your precious Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit that leads and guides and brings all things unto remembrance to us. So, Father God, is special in our lives. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father God, we continue to praise you, honor you, bless your holy name. And Father God, we pray that we're living lives that will glorify you. Father God, we continue to lift your word that those that hear may want to do more those that here may want to come and be a part of having your presence in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Pastor O. Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries, Radio Blog Talk. In June, I discussed the need to pray for our pastors. And how many know that need goes on 365 days a year? I've talked about my knee surgery. I talked about the loss of several friends and family members in those couple of few weeks while I had the surgery. Lost many friends and loved ones. And I sat down to start on this message, and I really thought I was going to preach Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. But that didn't happen. We're in the middle of September. So many people since June have left this earth for glory. Others have left this earth for an eternity of suffering. Every day you stop and talk to somebody, they're telling us about somebody else's departure. How many of those did God give us, when I say us, you and me, a chance to plant or water a seed of the word to? The bigger question is, did we do it? My brothers and sisters, if we believe in heaven and hell, shouldn't we be more serious about our witness to us, to the world? I'm going to say it. Most Christians, the majority of Christians, spend more time witnessing to one another or to other Christians than sharing the word with non-believers. And that's not what God told us to do. Yes, he wants us to encourage each other. He wants us to exhort each other. He wants us to build each other up. But he wants us to share the word with the lost. Too often we sit in Sunday school, Bible class, and show our knowledge of the word, and others just come to debate the word or cause some type of confusion. Christians, we tend to judge other Christians and sinners. And we already know that the word says, let God be the judge. God who's impartial. God who's omniscient. He knows everything about each and every one of us. So he's the only one that has the right to judge. We do all of that while people in our families, people we know, others that we meet. I know us a brother, I know it always talks about divine connections. And they're on the road to hell. Why? Because some of us have failed to share the word with them. I know I must do better at being a witness to others. What about you? We tell each other we're in the last days. Some say the last of the last. And if we truly, truly believe that, why don't we do better about witnessing and evangelizing the lost? And even when you talk about the last days or the last of the last days, remember, any day can be our last day on earth. So will God say that he's well pleased with what we've done here on earth? Or will he say, there was many souls I sent to you and you didn't witness to one of them? We often pray for God to change the world while God's waiting on us to have an impact on the world as Christians, to be salt and light, to share his word. So what is our responsibility, brothers and sisters? Have you really thought about what our responsibility on this earth is? Yes, it's to live a life that glorifies God. Yes, it's to walk a life of faith, belief in the word. Yes, it's to be good stewards. Yes, it's to raise our families and the admonition of the Lord. But Matthew 28:18-20, NIV says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So if nobody in heaven or earth that has more authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. My subject today, is God pleased with my witness? Is God pleased with my witness? If you want to put something in parentheses on that thought, how is my evangelizing? How is my evangelizing working in the kingdom of God? My brothers and sisters, while we, the church, are debating many matters. I mean, we got more debates than a little bit. Should we have service on the Sabbath or Sunday? Does preaching grace give us an excuse to sin or to continue in sin? No. Go read Romans chapter 6 about that. Is healing, tongues, prophecy, and other gifts for today? What type of music should we use and play in our services? How should we dress for church? Dressy or casual? Who should be paid staff? And who should be volunteers? How many services, outings, and other programs should I attend for the church versus spending time with my family? And many of us need to really look at that. Yeah, we be at everything and anything that the church is having. Every time the doors open, we're up in there. But what's happening with our family? Immediate and the others, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, cousins. What's happening with our family? How much personal time are we spending with God? Now, let me say that another way. How much personal time am I spending with God? And, you know, pastors are often very guilty of fulfilling members' unhealthy expectations, and members do not realize that the pastor is not married to the church. We debate about funerals. Should it only be for members, or do we have the funerals of anyone that come? Let me say, funerals for non-members is a great time to witness and the word to be heard and shared. Do you know of anyone that came to your church because of a funeral of a non-member and they were moved by the word of God from whoever was preaching that day? I can remember a whole family coming to Mount Zion years ago, and Sister Kathy was part of that family. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord that even her mother and father came and worshiped at Mount Zion, even though they had held membership somewhere else after a funeral for their son was done. Praise the Lord. Should women preach? Oh, my, my, my. And we already know what me and Pastor O believe about that. But what should we be doing with the millennials? What about Generation Z and Alpha? What should we be doing with these generations? And so many of us don't even want to see changes made to even reach millennials, Generation Z and Alpha. And let me be real. Every generation needs salvation. We debate about once saved, always saved, or can you lose your salvation? Am I a sinner saved by grace, or am I of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Which denomination, non-denominations, other churches, beliefs are correct? And let me say, this is me. Everyone has some interpretation correct and some wrong. Ain't no one church just the end all above all, because none of us are perfect. It wasn't but one that came to this earth that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. Who's saved? Who's not saved? Again, let God be the judge. So what is our responsibility, brothers and sisters? I'm asking it again. In Matthew 28:19 and verse 28, the New Living Translation says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then it says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. But why do we struggle fulfilling this command? Now I know there's some pastors and churches that have very powerful evangelism programs. They're also, the same can be said for some individual Christians. But how many know? Too many churches wait on people to come into the door to hear a word and hope and pray that they will be saved, when God told us to go out into the world and make disciples. And remember, each one of us, if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are the church wherever we go. Yes, we praise and worship God in a building. Whatever name is over that building, whatever denomination is part of that building, whether if it's non-denomination, it's still where we meet to worship. But we are the church wherever we, I believe, the church as a whole has missed the mark on evangelism and witness to the lost. Why? Fear to go out and share the scripture. Fear of being rejected or being called a radical Christian. Failure to study and memorize scripture to witness. Some are living carnal lives which do not glorify God and really kill their witness, their ability to be a witness. Judging people's lifestyles, whether or not they can be saved, whether they will be saved. God didn't tell us to do that. He didn't tell us to judge people's lifestyles. He said, go out and make disciples. So we're without excuse. Mark 16:15-16, New Living Translation says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everybody. Oh, what does everybody mean? Or everyone, I'm sorry. It doesn't say everybody. I changed that. Let me say that again. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Everybody. Everyone should have the opportunity to hear the word. And guess what? God is waiting on you and me to go out and do it. Decision time. When we go and plant or water the seed of the word, that person has the opportunity to believe, whoever they are, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. How can a person choose Christ if Christians never go and share the word? One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. God's waiting to give the increase. He's also waiting for us to plant and water the seed of his word. Acts 2:38 and 40 New Living Translation says, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins. Turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles. But God was so good, it did not stop there. All who have been called by our Lord God, then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And how many know? 3,000 souls were saved that day. Peter was not working in his own power. Peter went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We will never witness in our own power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, direct, and give us the word for the person we're to evangelize. The Holy Spirit knows that person. We have thoughts of different people. We may even judge a person or a stranger that God sends up to us. But the Holy Spirit already knows how many times the word has been planted with that person, how many times it's been watered, and if it's a new plant that needs to be watered. We don't know. We are to pray and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give us the wisdom, the knowledge of what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even the Gentiles. But better than that, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And that includes all those living today in our time. Romans 10:17, New Living Translation says, so faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, King James. How can they hear without a preacher? And I know that's the scripture too. But I think that is also, that scripture has paralyzed many in the church, because how can they hear without a preacher? And generally the preachers preaching at the church. Yes, I know many preachers and pastors, when they meet people wherever they at, they ask them, do you have a church home? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But I also believe that scripture paralyzes some believers, thinking that, oh, it is the preacher or the pastor's responsibility. Now, let me read you what the preacher or the pastor's responsibility is. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, now, these are the gifts God, Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And you might ask yourself, why did God give these gifts to the church? Why is Pastor O and his preaching staff at Running for Christ Ministries? Verse 12 is the answer. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Any preacher, minister, bishop, evangelist, prophet, whoever comes and gives you a word, it's because their responsibility is to equip God's people, you and me, to do his work and build up the church. And how do we build up the church? We go and make disciples. Members beget members. Disciples make disciples. And once the disciples are there, Running for Christ Ministries, it's Pastor O's job and his preaching team to preach, teach, equip, and help clean them, you, and me up. Colossians 1:21-23a and B. New Living Translation says, this includes you who were once far away from God. Have you ever thought about how far you were away from God? We'll pray for you. We'll get a word from with you. Who encouraged you to come to a service, to come to a concert, to come to whatever was being held, and you were inspired by God, the word, the message to change your life? This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. There we go with that word again that was on that song, nothing like God's presence. Into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. 23, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Let's be real about it. Now, I know some of you been in church all your life, kind of like the good son and the prodigal son story, that stayed at home, but he still had some issues and problems. Yeah. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody witnessed to us. It's time to give back and pray and witness for all who the Holy Spirit leads and guides each one of us to, or them to us. Yes, Lord. Acts 2:42-47. New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer. 47, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Dr. Beverly came to, I mentioned this before, Dr. Beverly came to Mount Zion to talk to and teach the ministers and preachers. Dr. Beverly was a wise man. Matthew 28:19-20, King James, he said, that ain't a hard scripture to preach or teach. He says it's simply three words, go, low, and woe. Go and make disciples, and lo, I am with you always. But what is the woe? Church, we're living the woe today in our sin-sick society, in our communities, in our cities, our states, our country, and the world. Sin is on an all-time high. People are doing anything and everything. The woe is our failure to go. But I'm not going to leave it there. God said, who will go for us? Who will go for Lord? Send me to plant, water, encourage, and love them till the time they come to you, my Lord. Romans 8:1-2, New Living Translation. For now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the living spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Don't we want that for our loved ones and family? Don't we want that for our friends and co-workers? Don't we want that for we need? Don't we want all that we know to be saved? Now, we know everybody won't accept Christ as Lord and Savior. But it is our responsibility to go and make disciples. And lo, I am with you always, Jesus promised, even to the end of the earth. And we want to be those that we share the word with and accept Jesus to be able to say, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor O.
Did you know?
Up in there. What a beautiful song. Oh my goodness. To go with an awesome word that we received today. The entire time I was listening to my cardinal, Elder Joseph Stevens, the song, first of all, he's all up in my devotional. Okay, that's first of all. Second of all, the song by Lecrae that Pastor plays or has played before, it just kept just playing in my head, send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. Let me go, let me go. So, Pastor, I don't know. That might need to be your closing song today. I'm not playing DJ. But I'm just saying the whole time Elder Joseph Stevens was preaching, that's all I kept hearing was send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. And it reminds me of the devotional that I believe I either read last week or the week before that was entitled, Put Me In, Coach. Put Me In. Who'll go on my behalf? Send me. I'll go. Amen. And so that's the attitude that every single one of us in Christ should have. We should be running each other down to stand in line to be the first to say, send me, I'll go. But the thing about it is that we don't have to jockey for position. There is plenty of work for every single one of us in Christ to do. We do not have to fight to be anything. There's plenty of Christ's work to go around. Amen. And so we do, again, have the responsibility to raise our hands and say, Lord, I'll go. Use me. Send me. I'll be that one. So thank you, Elder Joseph Stevens, for that reminder word that we have an obligation to not just be concerned about our lives and our immediate surroundings and our immediate people who we like and love because, you know, that's easy to do. But we have a reminder to make sure that everyone around us is saved and has the opportunity to go to heaven. You plant your seeds where you need to plant them. You water them where you need to plant them. But God, amen, we trust him for the increase. So we thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today. It was wonderful to hear your voice. We are so grateful
for the time that you took to get prepared for the lesson and the time that you took to bring forth the message. Amen. Amen. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is officially the third Saturday in the month of September. In 2 weeks, it will be Christmas. So get your Christmas stuff up now. Time, Lord have mercy, it's just moving by very fast. But God is good, and we are grateful. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, which is tomorrow, amen, we will have our Sunday school class at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and we will continue on with our praise team leading us in songs as we proceed into our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. And then Pastor O will be bringing the word, so make sure to come on out and enjoy worship service with us. We are at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium, amen. Every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day, so get in on that. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible class. A textbook is required for the class, so if you plan on being in attendance, and it's never too late to get in, amen, books are available. So please visit the church website, rfcm.org, and click on Bible classes to purchase the book. Please read the assignment before the class. The questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. And this week, our very own wonderful and amazing Deaconess Rebecca Johnson will be teaching the Fall of Jericho. Amen. That is the lesson for this week. So make sure to tune in and participate. Amen. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Make sure to join in on the discussion about our children. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. I've said it before. I will say it again. You can get your whole Christian life together just by listening to everything that we've had going on here on Blog Talk Radio since 2009 when it was just Pastor O and his nerves, okay, on here. What the Bible says. All the way up until today where you have a multitude of voices that you hear, from children to adults to our mothers and everybody in between. Amen. So Blog Talk Radio has truly grown and is getting into the nooks and crannies of making sure that the gospel gets all around the world. Amen. So again, to check out our church website, rfcm.org, share it with others, use it for what you need it for. There's classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more. And again, available all for free. So use it, like I said, for what you need it for. But don't keep it to yourself. Make sure to share it with others. Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joseph Stevens, who brought the word to us today, please make sure to do so. On the website, rfcm.org, click on the tithes and offerings tab. Remember to specify, this money here belongs to Elder Joseph Stevens, amen, and we will see to it that he receives it. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him, amen. Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost, from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. We are all looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Amen. But in the meantime, in between time, we got work to do. Amen. So please continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Pray for Mary Tate's sister, who I believe may be done with her chemo. I feel like I heard Mary say the other day that her sister was going to be coming home. But nevertheless, please continue to pray for her sister and the family. Continue to pray for Doris and Nakia Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Shirley, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman and his mom, Keela, Brother Air Johnson and Deaconess Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all those in Maui with the wildfires they had. And if I'm not mistaken, it was, I think, Morocco that had a horrible earthquake. And if I'm not mistaken, Libya with like flooding and things like that. So please just continue pray, because there are what we call natural disasters happening all over the place. Bad weather here, tornadoes and power outages and things like that. So people around the world are definitely going through it. So please remember to keep them lifted up in prayer. Pray for all those who are caregivers, nurses and doctors, and those who serve in the medical field, those in nursing homes and long-term care facilities, and those who are in hospice care. Pray for the families, all the teachers and staff and students. You know, we know everybody at this point in time, you know, it's almost October, everybody who's going to be attending an educational institution should already be in there. So make sure to continue to pray for all of the teachers and staff and students, you know, as the school year has started up again. And just pray for whether you're a bus driver, a security guard, a crossing guard, a lunch lady, a college professor, no matter what, just make sure to continue to pray for all of our students. Amen. All of our leaders in our communities, amen, from local all the way to Washington, continue to pray for our president and vice president. You know, I'm not a political person, but, you know, they just ain't right. Too much going on in politics. And I, you know, even if I wanted to start learning about politics, this is a little much. So, you know, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box. And when I see some stuff, I'm like, that don't really make too much sense. I don't really know a lot about what's going on when it comes to politics, but some things just don't look right. Amen. So please continue to make sure that you pray for those who have the rule over us. Amen. Again, continue to pray for your past and those who shepherd you in your walk with Christ. We at Run for Christ Ministries keep lifted in prayer. Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, everybody who preaches, Terrence, Minister Lachelle. I might have left somebody out, Elder Joseph Stevens. Y'all know who y'all are who preach at Run for Christ Ministries, and we keep you all up. Lifted high, amen, to Jesus. And we're so thankful that you all are shepherds to us, and we can follow you as you follow Christ, amen. And so they got big, ginormous targets on their backs. The enemy hates all of us, amen, but he really, 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 really hates those who are leading people away from him and to the Lord. So, again, remember to keep all of your pastors and those who shepherd you in the Lord lifted up to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And we also want to make sure to always pray for those who are mourning and grieving the loss of family, friends, and loved ones. And, again, as a bereavement announcement, our prayers do go out to the Alexander family, especially Gregory, and the loss of his brother, Kenny Alexander, again, who was well-known in E-Course and all the local churches that he played the organ for. He was eulogized this past week. So, again, please remember to keep his family and his friends lifted up in your thoughts and prayers as they transition into a life without their loved ones. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week. Or if you're celebrating today, y'all know Saturday is my favorite day of the week. It can literally be Groundhog Day every single Saturday, and I will be perfectly fine with that because I'm still getting my church in. You know what I'm saying? It would be different if we didn't have Blog Talk services on Saturday. Then Sunday would have to be my favorite day because then I could just, you know, have church all the time and still get to be off work. But Saturday can be my favorite day because we still get to be in worship service here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. So, again, happy birthday to Brother Ed Johnson, whose birthday was on the 1st, and he thought he was going to sit by, and I didn't know, but his name is on the list now, and it's official. So he started this month off with his birthday on the 1st. Mother Persia celebrated on the 2nd. Pastor O's daughter, Dion, celebrated on the 5th. Deacon Oliver Welch, celebrated on the 11th. Vice Chairman of the Deacon Board, Deacon Charles McMahon Mackey, celebrated on the 12th. The Chairman of our Deacon Board, Deacon Charles Tate, who you heard do a call today, celebrated on the 14th. He didn't respond back to my text message, but that's okay. I'll handle him tomorrow in church. Amen. Pastor O is celebrating his birthday on the 18th. Amen. Praise God for that. Nakia is celebrating her birthday on the 21st. And Deaconess Kathy, a.k.a. Cadillac, a.k.a. Cat Cat, a.k.a. our presiding person, is closing out this month with her birthday on the 22nd. Amen. So happy birthday. Love, hugs, kisses, and much blessings to each and every one of you. Amen? Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, okay, Elder Joseph Stevens was all up in my devotional today, but that's how I know the Holy Spirit picks these, because I had no idea what he was going to preach. Nobody ever knows what I'm going to say when I do announcements. Amen. So we're all surprised when we go through this service. Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, Do We Really Believe the Gospel? Therefore, and this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Again, you guys know I love to read his devotionals. And so it reads as follows. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's John chapter 8, verse 24. Several years ago, my oldest daughter, Jill, had bowel enterectomy surgery. Wow, enterectomy. A foot of her small intestine was removed and a resection was performed. Although performed laparoscopically, this procedure is no walk in the park. We were a little on edge as we prayed for a great result. After 2 hours, the surgeon came out and informed us that all went well. We were so grateful to God for this good news. Post-op was a different story, however. The CO2 gas used for the procedure caused my daughter tremendous pain, a pain the hospital was unable to control. My heart broke as my daughter suffered hour after hour with a 10-plus pain level. She was crying in agony, wondering if she could take it any longer. Finally, after a 4-hour wait, the attending doctor came to reassess her. She upped her meds, and the pain slowly subsided to a more bearable level. As I watched my daughter writhe in acute misery, I was totally helpless to fix it. I prayed for God to take away her pain. I prayed for him to give her relief. Without question, I would not want my worst enemy to experience this level of suffering. Then it dawned on me. This was a faint picture of the eternal horrors of hell. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told of a rich man who died and went to Hades or hell. This man said, I am in agony in this flame. That's Luke chapter 16, verse 24. The reality of hell. The Bible clearly teaches there is a terrible, horrible place called hell. It is a place of outer darkness, a place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. To be sure, this awful place was not created for people, but for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Y'all should know that verse because I tell y'all about that all the time. The Lord does not want anyone to go to this place. In fact, Jesus died in agony and blood on the cross to prevent it. He took our hell so that we would never have to go there. However, those who reject Christ and his love and grace will find themselves in hell one day, just as the rich man in Luke chapter 16 did. It is definitely not God's will or desire that anyone go there, but it is the righteous end to any sinner who refuses the Savior. Some have asked, why hell is a place of torment? Why not just make it a place of banishment? I believe the answer to that question may be simpler than we tend to make it. God is good, gracious, compassionate, kind, and loving. Every good and perfect gift comes from him, and that's James chapter 1, verse 17. If a person rejects God and refuses to bow the knee to his lordship and salvation, that person gets his or her wish, a place without God and any shred of his glorious, wonderful nature. If you remove all light from a room, the result is darkness. If you remove every vestige of God's goodness and grace from a place, the end result is hell. So do we believe it? Here is the sober truth. Every person you know who does not know Christ is one heartbeat away from the agony of hell. This agony will not last for hours. It will last forever and ever. Just like Pastor Johnson said, hell is a long, long time. Amen. Eternity is a long, long time. It is this truth that should motivate every Christian to fervently pray for lost friends, neighbors, work associates, and loved ones, and boldly share the gospel before it is too late. I heard a man give his testimony a few years back. He came to Christ out of the iron clutches of Islam. He admonished the Christian audience by saying, "I knew many Christians in high school who never ventured to tell me about Jesus. Did they not really believe I was going to hell without Christ, or did they not really care?" What a stinging indictment to the average Christian. May you and I always keep on the forefront of our minds the reality of hell for all those who reject Jesus and his love. May it spur us on to pray for the opening of blind eyes. May it give us the boldness to open our mouths and confidently share the good news that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He will save anybody who comes to him in repentance and faith. You and I possess the cure for sin. It is Jesus and only Jesus. Let's tell the world about him while there is still time. Amen, amen, and those are your announcements.
Just have to say
That's all I got.
I like that. I learned that when I got in church. Amen. You can do anything in church. You can. You know, people be like, "Oh yeah, he just caught the Holy Ghost." You know.
Amen. Pastor, why can't you ever be normal when you open it?
I don't know. I'm sitting here normal. You know. Nah, that's gonna be all weekend. All weekend now. I'm telling you, I don't know what be going on sometimes. Just say what I hear. Oh, Jesus, I'm telling you.
Jesus, help,
see,
Lord.
Now I won't stop. I think it's Elder Joseph Stevens' fault. Yeah, he seems it feels pretty good to blame that on him.
Yeah, we going to blame him. Yep, all day.
All day long, because he the one that preached, amen.
Blame Janet, really too. Yeah. It's usually the preacher's fault. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all of them.
Blame
Everybody.
Deacon Tate, he prayed. Blame Kathy,
yep.
She presided.
Mm-hmm. Yep, everybody except me and you. I think we're in the clear this week.
Exactly. We're the product of our environment.
Hey, yes, we are. We are being influenced, I'm telling you. Lord have mercy.
That's a good one, though, okay?
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
Anyway.
See, here we go. Somebody needs to mute your microphone.
I know. I started to, but then Jesus said, "You got to talk." But anyway.
You got to talk. Amen.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Appreciate you telling me. I say, what's up?
I sure will. Amen.
All right. Hey, man, what am I doing? This is like you're talking stupid. Hey, okay. Wait a minute. What? Oh, but anyway. Amen. First, let me give this a little announcement. I was at my home church hanging out with my pastor and some of the members there at Kenny's homegoing celebration. And chairman of the deacon board, George Drayden, gave me this announcement for men. First Baptist Church of Ecourse Men's Fellowship. It's going to be on Saturday, September 30th, this year, 2023, and it starts at noon. The theme is Godly Men Acknowledging Who God Created Them to Be. And their scripture text is, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many, Mark 10:45, New King James Version. Come fellowship with us as we discuss and examine how God speaks to us through his word, by his spirit, and gives us truly humble servant hearts for his glory. Lunch will be served. The address is 3837 15th Street, Ecorse, Michigan, 3837 15th Street, Ecorse, Michigan, at 12 noon, Men's Fellowship. Amen. Men need to come together and discuss getting back in the place that God put us in the beginning. Amen. Amen. Reverend Alfred L. Davis, Jr. is the pastor. Reverend Sherman Redden, minister. Deacon George Drayton, chairman of the deacon board. Brother Andrew Cook, amen, chairman of the trustees. So if you get a chance, September 30th at 12 noon, meet at First Baptist Church E-Course, okay, for a men's fellowship as we discuss how to get back where God had placed us, how to climb back up. But that'll be all right. Okay, I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for getting all these folks together to do everything that's been done. Deacon Charles Tate for the altar call. I want to thank Assistant Pastor Janice Tate for the awesome teaching that's going on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings at our church. You need to be involved with that, amen, as well as being involved in the Wednesday night Bible class. You cannot be in Bible class too much. That's like Jesus' disciples telling them, you know, Jesus, we've been following you too much. You can't do that. Amen. You can't get too much. So God bless. And I want to especially thank Elder Joseph Stevens. I want to thank him because he preaches what God gives him. And he did, and then the Lord told me to play 2 7-minute songs. And I say, Jesus, that's 14 minutes. He's like, oh, wow, you know math. But anyway, I played those two songs and wondered. And every song that was played led right into the sermon. Amen. I give myself to you. I give myself away. Amen. So you can use me. And guess what he wants to use us for? Witnessing. And I love how he counts that subject. Is God pleased with your witnessing? I mean, we talk and worry about a lot of things, but let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Jesus went away to prepare a place for us, and he promised to come back and get us. Either through the rapture or a personal rapture. Like Kenny got raptured not too long ago. The other week we went to his home going, but he went. Not all of us. It was a personal rapture. And you should have heard when people talked about, okay, how he witnessed for Jesus by doing what Jesus called him to do. Amen. But the better question is, if your Christianity only exists inside the church and you don't say nothing about Jesus all week long, you don't make no attempts to lead nobody to Christ, teach somebody in Christ, or help somebody demonstrating the love who is in or outside the body of Christ, I don't know what you're doing for Jesus. It's like you got saved and then you went and sat somewhere and just waiting for Jesus to come back. No, no, no. He told us, the preacher preached it, and I ain't going to re-preach it. Go, right there, go, okay? If you're not going and telling anybody on your job or every opportunity you get wherever you are looking for opportunities to preach Jesus, then what are you doing for Jesus? And when you get home and Jesus say, what did you do for me, what will you say? I went to church sometime. Didn't do much Bible class or home Bible study. Didn't help a whole lot of people, but I did accept you as my Lord and Savior. Well, when Janice was talking this morning about the millennial kingdom, reign of Christ for 1,000 years on earth, guess what you'll be doing as much as you're doing now? Yeah, it's up to you. Amen. So I thank God for him. And, you know, we always trying to preach sermons that's going to somehow fix your whole life, make your next week better, make your boss act right, and all this sort of stuff. But what about our responsibility to Jesus? What if Jesus had come here and got involved in everything else but becoming the Savior? Just changed his mind. Just started doing what he wanted to. The Lord's going to ask you, how many people will be in heaven that you led to Christ when you get there? How many will be standing at the gate to greet you? You guys know that from time to time, and I know people say, why is he sending this to me? I'm saved. In hopes that you'll send it to somebody who's not. Amen. The Lord have made it too easy for us to witness, y'all. So we can't say, I'm not a speaker. That's not my thing. Well, can you click send? Somebody already wrote it out. Can you just send it to somebody? Amen. You know, going to church is good. Going to Bible class is good. Doing home Bible study is good. But it really don't amount to a whole lot if you don't tell nobody about Jesus. And all you have to do is tell them like Paul did. Paul didn't go around trying to preach the whole Old Testament to people. Paul went around telling how Jesus came into his life. And then people wanted Jesus in their lives. Because you hear it from a man who persecuted the church. If the Lord can save him, he can save me. That's what they'll say. Amen. Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. Get the respect of those on the outside. You won't be dependent on nobody. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we all meet again. Now listen to the question.
First